In this season of Lent, Old South Church is taking up in a serious way the ancient practice of prayer. And I invite you to approach today's sermon, a sermon in word and song, as prayer upon prayer upon prayer. It is a sermon in three parts. Part one, prayer as doxology, prayer as praise. Come, cries the psalmist. Come, let us sing to God. Make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Joyful noise. The Hebrew word here for joyful noise, think war whoop. Think David Ortiz hits a game-changing home run in the bottom of the ninth. Think explode into celebration. No holding back. Let it all hang out. Give it up for God. The Hebrew word for joyful noise implies an absolute outburst of voice and instrument. You see, the psalmist imagines him or herself as a cheerleader, stirring up the church to praise, exciting us to holy, jubilant adoration, urging that we pull out all the stops and give it up for God, no matter what. No matter the wilderness you are enduring, no matter your doubts, no matter your sense of despair. You see, the psalmist wrote at a time when Israel's leadership was in question. The monarchy had fallen apart. The people were at a loss where to turn, to whom to turn. And the ancient psalmist knew in his day what we know in our day, that our earthly rulers will disappoint, will fail. Our human kings and potentates, our presidents and prime ministers, even the very best, are human, failed, fallen, corruptible. Even the best and the brightest are limited by virtue of their humanity. They will fail, they will disappoint, but not God. God is the rock of our salvation, the foundation upon which all else is built. Upon this rests the psalmist's jubilation, that God is God. So Old South Church, if you cheer Tom Brady's fourth quarter comeback, if you rise to your feet, lift your voice, clap, fist bump, laugh with abandon over a football game, would you not do the same for the Holy One of Israel, the creator of the universe, in whose hands are the depths of the earth and the height of the mountains? So I'm going to invite you now to do as the psalmist asks. Now, we have a little cheering section here to help you, but we need you. I know you do this for Tom Brady. I know you do this for David Ortiz. It's time to do it for God. So feel free to join, to rise your feet, to fist pump, to yell out, for the God in whose hands are the depths of the earth and the height of the mountains. Church, give it up for God. For the God who loves and liberates slaves, give it up, church, for God. Breaks open the prison doors and lets the oppressed go free. Church, give it up for God. Yeah. For the God who conquered death, who wrought resurrection, who gives wings to our beloved dead, who welcomes them into the citizenship of heaven. Church, give it up for God. Yeah. Church, for the God who painted the giraffe and the zebra stripes and put the dots on the ladybug. Church, give it up for God. For the God who loves the poor, who blesses the meek of the earth, who celebrates peacemakers. Church, give it up for God. For our Creator, creator God, author of the universe, who hung the stars in the sky, who filled the oceans and set the planets spinning. Church, give it up for God. And now, church, prayerfully, heartfully, let us sing our doxologies. Alleluia. Part 2, Prayer as Intercession. Psalms can be jagged things, taking enormous mood swings from jubilation to despair. And here in Psalm 95, the psalmist takes a sharp, hard turn. Here, God is remembering when the people were in bondage, when God heard their cries, heard their suffering, when God swooped down and came to their rescue, freed them from slavery in Egypt, saved them from Egypt's swords and arrows, parted for them the Red Seas, and guided them safely into the wilderness, into freedom. They'd made it. They were free, and they were in love with God, this God who had rescued them from slavery. Oh, they were full of doxologies then, laughing and singing of what God had done for them. But barely were they in the wilderness when they grew anxious. Anxious about this, anxious about that. Fretting over their fate, their future, having already forgotten God. Forgotten God's sovereignty, forgotten God's providence. Having lost the palpable sense of God's presence, they worried over everything. And do you remember what they did then? They made their own God. A golden calf, a paltry thing. Because that's what we do, we humans, when we've lost God, when we've lost our way, we make our own gods, or try. We fashion some cheap, tawdry substitute, a golden calf, or a pile of wealth, or fame, or capitalism, or a political ideology, or a social ideology, or nationalism, or even a sports team. Or maybe, because they're so good, maybe food, or alcohol, or opiates, or sex. This is the burden of the second portion of the psalm, the sharp, hard turn it takes, that God has seen this pattern before. One minute we are all high praise and jubilation, our lungs filled with doxology. And the next minute, it's turned to dust, turned to forgetfulness. And we are cheating on God. We are carrying on an illicit affair, a seamy affair with money or fame or food or nation or ideology. For this, for the sin of forgetting God and fashioning our own gods, for this, let us ask God's forgiveness. Hear our prayer. Part 3, Prayer as Plea. The psalmist tells us clear as day how to fix what is wrong with us. We are to bow down before the greatness of God, bow our heads, humble ourselves, kneel before the presence of God, our Maker. And there in prayer, head bowed, knees aching, to remember our promises. Remember that you promised once, you vowed, to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And you knew what you were getting into. You knew that to be wed to God, joined to God, is to be married to God's story of freedom. It is to hew to God's plumb line of justice. It is to trust God when God is nowhere in sight. That's the deal. That's the vow. That's the promise. These are hard vows to keep, and that's why you're here. That's why I'm here. That's why we need each other. And we need church and prayer and ancient sacred texts and holy food and sacred drink and hymns and musical instruments and acts of confession and the stirred waters of baptism by which we are marked for God. I invite you now to consider using the kneelers in your pews or simply to bow your heads, bow your spirits, bow your souls. Together, church, prayerfully, heartfully, let us sing our plea that Jesus remember us.